Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion?" said Jesus. "Did you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brother Ahmed. I pray that the words that he's now going to share will be of you, not of him. That those words will come into us and they will affect us as you intend them to. For Lord, you are awesome. Teach us more of yourself this morning, I pray, through Emmett's words. Amen.
One of us surprised was the verse 52, that naked guy. Yes, right. That naked guy, very interesting to be mentioned. They reckon is Mark himself. They reckon that Mark himself, he wasn't one of the disciples. He wasn't one of the 12. But he wrote the gospel. But he tried to mention this to say that I witnessed this myself. I was following him everywhere. I know. I didn't hear it secondhand. I didn't hear it from somebody else. I was there. I witnessed this. I saw that. I was part of this. And here is the thing, it can be, you can look at it, it's irrelevant. But what is the Holy Spirit guide Mark to write? He didn't write a story of something he heard from ancestors. No, he was there, watching, noticing, and he said, "This is what happened. This is what happened." Right. Let's paint the picture of that night from other three gospels as well, all combined. What Jesus felt on that night was very, very interesting. Overwhelmed with sorrow. His heart was filled up with pain and sorrow. He woke and prayed and said, "Lord, Father, would you take that cup away from me? If you can, but if you want me to drink this cup, I am here to do your will." Very difficult one. Very stressful time. Overwhelming. Very tough. I'm going to carry that burden on me. I'm going to walk in that direction. On the same night, someone who lived with him for 3 years, one of his closest friend, betrayed him. Not just one. A crowd of guys coming with sword and clubs, sticks, running after him. Maybe he healed one of them before. Maybe they were in the crowd when he feed the 5,000. Maybe they were having attached to someone died and raised up from the dead. Maybe, maybe, maybe. 3 years serving them in the community, and he had been betrayed. Make it even more worse. The closest guy to him ran away, abandoned him. Tough. Horrible, horrible picture. Tough for anybody. But what is the reaction of Jesus? That is what it makes me think so much. What is his reaction to all this colorful, long night? Difficult, tough, not nice. You feel whatever you can feel with it. But his reaction was totally different. Totally different, which is surprising. Remain in God's presence. The Bible said in Luke, as usual, he went to the Mountain of Olives to pray. As usual. It's not one off. As usual, he decided to have his time with the Father. As usual, I won't remain attached to you even in the most difficult time and most difficult task you're asking me to do. He attached himself to that presence. He kept doing what he called to be doing. Healing people. Peter, shall we fight? Get his sword, cut the guy's ear. And Jesus said, okay, right. Stop. Take the ear, touch it back, healed him. In the midst of all this, you are still performing miracles? In the midst of all this colorful night and stressful time, you are still doing what you should be doing? Yeah, because it's Jesus. Remaining depending on the Spirit. He was depending on the Spirit. He said, pray. Be alert. You will get yourself in temptation. But pray that the Spirit of God will be remaining with you, staying with you. You will be in that place, but depend on the Spirit. Another one. He was committed to his calling. This is what is written in the prophets. This is what should be happened. I am aware of it, and I'm going through it. Committing to the calling. How many times we are called to do something, and we are aware that what God called us, and we are not. Right? Committed to the calling in the midst of all this. He is aware. He knows exactly what is the prophet said about that particular moment. And he was committed. The question for you or for us all, when you are through a difficult time, what's your reaction? Your answer can be very easy. Sorry, mate, I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. He can do this, not me. I have some news for you. Actually, you are Jesus. prove it, yes? Remember that day when you go into this?
Baptism.
Absolutely. Thank you, Margaret. Yeah. When you go there, what did you do? You lie about yourself. Yeah, no, but what has happened? Galatians 3:27 said that you were Jesus. You become part of him. You become him. Right. Imagine if you get a doll, you know, one of those Barbie dolls, and you decide to take her head off like the kids used to do. Sorry for that picture. And you decide, here we go, you walk alone without the head. It will look ugly, yeah? Sometimes we do this with Jesus. He is the head, but we cut him off, and I'm going to do this myself. I decide to separate myself from the head. I decide to separate myself. Okay, today I'm putting Jesus on for the 5 minutes prayer in the morning. And I'm taking him off when I'm going to work. And I play the game of changing clothes like my daughter do in her room. You'll find all the clothes in the floor. Because I tried that and I didn't like it, and I tried that and I didn't like it, and I tried that and didn't like it. We do that every second with Jesus. I don't like him today in this situation. I have to be aggressive because he was aggressive back to me. I have to be honest because I am, and keep putting different clothes on, and you forgot that you are wearing Jesus. The news is what your reaction in the situation is. You are Jesus, if you like it or not. It can be a history. I get baptized in 1998, and on the day of 27th of December, it's become a history. I take that in my box. It's done. But I am not wearing Jesus. I accepted Jesus in my life in 1980, and it was July 25th, the 25th, blah, blah, blah. It's a history. But where is Jesus? I don't know. Who are you? I have no idea. Either those dates has become a history in your book, like I born in 19 whatever, it's become another date in your life, or it did really something, and you are really wearing Jesus. That's why in a situation, he didn't perform. He done who he is. I have a verse for you which it's just make me think quite a lot. In Mark, the same guy, 11, verse 22. You remember that time when Jesus was walking with his disciple and he saw that tree and he tried to get some fig from it and he cursed it and just da-da-da-da, the whole lot. And in the way back, Peter said, oh, look. The tree's dead. Jesus answered something really very interesting. Have faith in God. The translation didn't give it a very good one. I looked to the Arabic translation. Nice to have something, another language. I'm not bragging anything. But he said something really interesting in Arabic. It made me think a lot. Have, not facing God, have the face of the Son of God. Have the same face that Jesus himself have. that whatever he done it on the same parallel move of the will of the Father. Therefore, you are doing the same thing. Have the same face of the Son of God, that you are working in parallel of the will of the Father for whatever he called you to be in. It's not a word, hey, Dan, have faith in God. No, 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 no. He didn't say that. He doesn't give him a good shoulder. Let's just encourage him. Hey, have faith in God. It's a difficult situation. Have faith in God. No, 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 no. I am telling you, have the faith of Jesus on the Father. Walk in parallel with him. This is his calling. This is his way. This is his will. And I am walking with this. Why? Because I kept myself dependent on the Spirit, and I kept myself in his presence. You can take off Jesus and put it on. That is up to you. But reality speaking is, keep the head fixed to the rest of the body. I decide to take this head and put it away. There is no meaning of my body. Don't separate yourself from his love. Don't separate yourself from his will. Don't separate yourself from his calling. Don't separate yourself from the rest of the body. Early in the night, he sat and have supper with them, last one. The Passover meal. And it's written in Corinthians, in the night he has been betrayed. He is aware from the beginning. He was chatting with his disciple about this betray business. He take a bread and he broke it. He take the cup and give it away. Why? He was keen to keep that covenant running and going. Because that covenant is what it will attach the head to the body. That covenant is, you are not doing it by yourself alone. We are doing this together. That covenant is saying, through me, through Jesus, you are part of this Trinity. We are working together now. I want you to invite you in to be partner with me on what decision we have. This is what he did with Abraham. We talk about that. This is what he did with Ezekiel, with Moses, with a lot of guys. Elijah, everybody. He walked with him. He get into this covenant with David. David even was brave to say, okay, you have the tent of meeting somewhere in Jerusalem, wherever, but I have here the tent of David. I want to worship him all day long. Nothing can separate me from that glory of the covenant with him. I am sitting on that tent, praising and worshiping him. I want that covenant. I want him. And until the last minute, Jesus decided to say, okay, this is the covenant I have between me and you. Shall we be partners? You called me to be son and daughters of him, yes. But shall we be partners? Shall you come and partake some of what I called you to do. Shall we be partners? Shall we be together on that one? This is what he called us to do. He called you to be a partner. You can be a son and daughter, but I'm not doing anything you like me to. You can be just a son or daughter. Nice. I am saved. Lovely. But calling is not my thing. I am saved. Brilliant. But I'm not wearing Jesus today. I am saved. But the task you have for me is too big. I'll pass it to Graham. But he called you to be a partner. He called you for a communion. He called you for a presence. He called you that from now the heaven is open. There is a way between me and the heavens. This is why he became in flesh. John 1. Because he reconciled the earth with heaven. This is why he prayed. Your will be done in heaven and earth. Yes? This is the covenant. It's two ways. And the choice is, in a circumstances, I can choose to be a son and daughter, full stop, or I can be fully in, partner with him. You will be saved on nice and happy days. But your calling, your presence, your heart for him, walking in the glory, knowing what you have in him, you have an open heaven over you, new doors you open and lock. You partner with him for this nation. You partner with him for this church. You partner with him for the neighborhood. You partner with him for the people you work for. You partner with him for your kids and grandchildren. You partner with him for your husband, for your wife. You partner with him for everything. Because the invitation today, when Graham will lead us into this, is what you are breaking the bread and having this cup for. That is in the Middle East, is something we do. If you eat together, it means we have a relationship. If I invite you to my home and we eat together from the same plate, it means we have a relationship. Because this is why hospitality is really important. When we eat together, we form that relationship. When you eat the communion, you form that relationship with him. It's not a first Sunday of the month tradition. You can do that. They will kick me if I say that to you, but I will say it. You can do that in your home, on your table with your family. One of Natalie's stories, one more. She always liked to do shows after school when she was in primary. Her and her friend, they have to perform and show something and do something. Whatever stories you will write and create. And one of her stories is, okay, today we are going to do church. Yes, we will have some worship and we'll have a breaking bread together as a family. And she takes it so serious. I think she was 8 around that time. But her faith that is what is the church all about. This is what her understanding, what she understood. the church attached with breaking bread, communion, with him. What is attached to you? Tradition? Or something really, really important and valid? Is the first Sunday of the month? Or I am a partner with him? Shall we pray?